Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Remo by Aram Goldar and Tirum Zechus Yavamas Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, the 15th Perek at Yusha. So the three Dafs are going to focus on number one. The Mishnah Daf Kuf Yadad Amabe stated, "Katata Beinola Veinat Vishom Ba'olam Inanay Amenas." If there was conflict between him and her and peace in the world, the wife is not believed to say her husband died when they were overseas. The Gemara here asks, "Heichidami Katata Beinola Veinat?" What is considered conflict between him and her? Rav Yudah said, "In the name of Shmuel, Bomeres Gabal Garsheni." When it comes to a point at which she says to her husband, "Divorce me." When the Gemara objects and says that all women say this when they're angry, it revises Shmuel's statement to Be'omeres Chabal Gerashtani, when she says to her husband, "You have divorced me." This means that the fighting has become so intense that she attempted to free herself from him by falsely claiming they were divorced. When the Gemara challenges this, based on what Rav Hamnuna taught, that a woman who said her husband divorced her is believed because Chazaka ein isha mazeve pane bifnei bala, it's a chazaka, that a woman would not be so brazen to say before her husband falsely that he divorced her. It once again revises what Shmuel said to be when she says, "You have divorced me in the presence of Ploni and Ploni." And when the witnesses are asked, they say it never happened. Pointing to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said regarding a woman testifying that her husband died overseas, "Lo'olam einu ne'amenas elim kembasa bochum begdel krun." She's never believed unless she comes weeping with her clothing torn. The Chachamim responded, "Achazov achazov tinase." Whether one woman displays signs of mourning and one does not, they're both believed and are permitted to marry. The Gemara cites an incident with a woman who came to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din to testify that her husband had died. Some rabbis there at the Beis Din told her to show signs of mourning by crying over her husband, tearing her clothing, and disheveling her hair. When the Gemara asks, "Apu Ashikra, did they teach her to lie?" It then answers that these Rabbanan held, like the Chachamim, that she is believed without showing signs of mourning. But they knew Rabbi Yehuda would not permit her to marry unless she showed such signs. Therefore, they said, "Let her do so, so that Rabbi Yehuda will permit her to marry." The Meiri derives from here the principle that if one knows that a superior court permits a certain matter, but there's a lower court that has a dissenting opinion, it's permitted to advise the relevant party on how to meet the requirements under which the lower court will also grant a permit. And pointing between the next Mishnah states that Basila said regarding believing a woman who testifies about her husband's death, "Oshamanu el bavamina katsubu osamedina." We have not heard this tradition except in a case where she comes from the grain harvest and in the same country, ukamaisa shahaya, as were the circumstances in the case which is the basis of this ruling. The Gemara explains that before Beis Hillel retracted this ruling, their rationale was that a woman would be afraid to lie in a place where the incident occurred because her testimony could be contradicted by others. Beis Shammai's reply would be she would still be afraid to lie even where she testifies that he died in a different country because caravans bringing people from that country are common. So once again, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yadalad stated, if there was conflict between him and her and peace in the world, the wife is not believed to say her husband died when they were overseas. The Gemara here asks, what is considered conflict between him and her? Rav Yudah said, in the name of Shmuel, Bomeres Gabal Garsheni, when it comes to a point at which she says to her husband, "Divorce me." When the Gemara objects and says that all women say this when they're angry, it revises Shmuel's statement to Bomeres Gabal Gerashtani, when she says to her husband, "You have divorced me." This means that the fighting has become so intense that she attempted to free herself from him by falsely claiming they were divorced. When the Gemara challenges this, based on what Rav Hamnuna taught, that a woman who said her husband divorced her is believed because Chazaka ein isha mazeve pane bifnei bala, it's a chazaka, that a woman would not be so brazen to say before her husband falsely that he divorced her. It once again revises what Shmuel said to be when she says, "You have divorced me in the presence of Ploni and Ploni." And when the witnesses are asked, they say it never happened. Pointing to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said regarding a woman testifying that her husband died overseas, "Lo'olam einu ne'amenas elim kembasa bochum begdel krun." She's never believed unless she comes weeping with her clothing torn. The Chachamim responded, "Achazov achazov tinase." Whether one woman displays signs of mourning and one does not, they're both believed and are permitted to marry. The Gemara cites an incident with a woman who came to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din to testify that her husband had died. Some rabbis there at the Beis Din told her to show signs of mourning by crying over her husband, tearing her clothing, and disheveling her hair. When the Gemara asks, "Apu Ashikra, did they teach her to lie?" It then answers that these Rabbanan held, like the Chachamim, that she is believed without showing signs of mourning. But they knew Rabbi Yehuda would not permit her to marry unless she showed such signs. Therefore, they said, "Let her do so, so that Rabbi Yehuda will permit her to marry." The Meiri derives from here the principle that if one knows that a superior court permits a certain matter, but there's a lower court that has a dissenting opinion, it's permitted to advise the relevant party on how to meet the requirements under which the lower court will also grant a permit. And pointing between the next Mishnah states that Basila said regarding believing a woman who testifies about her husband's death, Oshamanu el bavamina katsubu os medina. We have not heard this tradition except in a case where she comes from the grain harvest and in the same country, ukamaisa shahaya, as were the circumstances in the case which is the basis of this ruling. The Gemara explains that before Beis Hillel retracted this ruling, their rationale was that a woman would be afraid to lie in a place where the incident occurred because her testimony could be contradicted by others. Beis Shammai's reply would be she would still be afraid to lie even where she testifies that he died in a different country because caravans bringing people from that country are common. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, and this Simur was suggested to us by Menashe Reuben Weiss from Yerushalayim and by Aaron Warso from Queens. They both suggested Kuf Tes Zayin is a barber giving haircuts. A barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber, listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, and that it was okay her husband died during the olive harvest and not the grain harvest. So once again, slow motion. The barber, that must be more enough. Kuf Tes Zayin, barber giving haircuts. The barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, which reminds us the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yudalet Amud Beis stated, Katata beino leveinav v'shalom ba'olam einan ne'emenes. If there was conflict between him and her and peace in the world, the wife is not believed to say her husband died when they were overseas. The Gemara here asks, Heichi dami katata beino leveinav. What is considered conflict between him and her? And concludes that it's when she says, you have divorced me in the presence of Pony and Pony. And when the witnesses are asked, they say, it never happened. So the barber, listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, which reminds us of what Yehuda the Mishnah said regarding a woman testifying that her husband died overseas. She's never believed unless she comes weeping with her clothing torn. The Chachamim responded, achazov tinasa, whether one woman displays signs of mourning and another does not, they're both believed and are permitted to marry. The Gemara cites an incident with a woman who came to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din to testify that her husband had died. Some rabbis there at the Beis Din told her to show signs of mourning by crying over her husband, tearing her clothing, and disheveling her hair. These were rabbanim held like the Chachamim that she's believed without showing signs of mourning, but they knew Rabbi Yehuda would not permit her to marry unless she showed such signs. So the barber, listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, and that it was okay her husband died during the olive harvest and not the grain harvest. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Beis Hillel said regarding believing a woman who testifies about her husband's death, Oshamanu el bavamina katsur ba'os medina, we have not heard this tradition except in a case where she comes in the grain harvest and in the same country, ukamaisa shahaya, as were the circumstances in the case which is the basis for this ruling. The Gemara explains that before Beis Hillel retracted this ruling, the rationale was that a woman would be afraid to lie in a place where the incident occurred because her testimony could be contradicted by others. Beis Shammai's reply would be she would still be afraid to lie even where she testifies that he had died in a different country because caravans bringing people from that country are common. So once again, the barber, listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, and that it was okay her husband died during the olive harvest and not the grain harvest. All right, now it's time for four blabak hazara. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube, that must mean one of Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube, of all the men she was prohibiting herself to, but did not think to include a sticker of her Yavam, which reminds us, the question was asked, Nutul mini Yehudim li Yavam Mahu. If a married woman said, I'm removed from all Jews, meaning she made a neder not to have benefit from relations with any men, what's the halacha regarding the Yavam? Did she consider at the time she made the neder that her husband might die childless and she'll fall to the Yavam Yibum? If so, then the Yavam is certainly prohibited to her. Or did she not consider the possibility, in which case he would be permitted to her? Rashi explains why she may have not considered the possibility. Rav said, Yavam eino kamba'al. The Yavam is not like the husband, as the neder did not apply to him, and if the husband dies childless, he may do Yibum with her. Shmuel said, Yavam haru kamba'al. The Yavam is like the husband, and just as a husband is forbidden to her, so is he, because the neder includes him. Abai brings the support for Rav's position. So the woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube, of all the men she was prohibiting herself to, but did not think to include a sticker of her Yavam, and ended up getting divorced against her will after she became a Chareshes, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said to the Rabbanim, why may a woman who became a Chareshes be divorced, but a man who became a Cheresh may not divorce? They answered, Ein adoyma ha'misha megaresh le'isha miskareshes. A man who divorces is not comparable to a woman being divorced. She'isha yotzeh l'ratzona v'shelo l'ratzona v'ish Inomotzi el lorotzono. For the woman can be divorced with her consent and without it, while the man may only divorce with his consent. Since a man who is mentally incompetent, such as a cheresh or a shotet, cannot express consent, they may not divorce a woman. So the woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube of all the men she was prohibiting herself to, but did not think to include a sticker of her yavam, and ended up getting divorced against her will after she became a chereshes, got married again, unlike the shotet she knew, who could never get married at all. Which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama said, what's the difference between a cheresh and a chereshes that the Rabban instituted, a category of marriage and a shota that the Rabban did not? The Gemara answers that in the case of the cheresh and a chereshes, where the rabbinic institution of marriage can endure, they establish nisuin. Rashi explains that deaf mutes can get along with other people and serving with their spouses. In the case of the shota of a shota, where a rabbinic institution of marriage cannot endure, for in adam dar im nachash bekfifa achas, for a man cannot live with a snake inside one basket, they did not institute it. Rush explains that it's not in the nature of insane people to coexist with others peaceably, and the marriage will ultimately fail. All right, so that completes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. So here goes. The computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana versus Chereshes marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Chereshes is the one who cannot receive Truma the Rabbanan, nor a Kasuba, was constantly being interrupted by his Shota wife he could not divorce because Rabbanan did not permit him. Once again, in slow motion. The computer geek, that must be more in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana versus Chereshes marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Chereshes is the one who cannot receive Truma the Rabbanan, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the difference between a Katana who eats Rabbanan Truma and a Chereshes who does not eat Rabbanan Truma? After the first reason is rejected, the Gemara explains that the real reason a Chereshes may not eat Truma is Gezer Shemiyachu Cheresh Bipikachas, a decree lest a deaf mute Kohen feed the rice of Truma to his competent wife. Since she's competent and responsible for her actions and only married on a Rabbanan level to the Kohen, she would be Chayiv Misa. So the computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana versus Chereshes marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Chereshes is the one who cannot receive Truma the Rabbanan, nor a Kasuba, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what is the difference between the Katana who has the right to a Kasuba and a Chereshes that does not have the right to a Kasuba, and answers that if a Chereshes received a Kasuba, men would be dissuaded and not marry her in the first place. Rashi explains that men will not be dissuaded from marrying a Katana since she will eventually become competent. The Gemara asks that if this is so regarding the marriage of a competent woman and a Cheresh, we talking like Kasuba, let the Rabban institute a Kasuba for her. For if the confident women do not get one, they would be dissuaded and not marry deaf-mute men. The Gemara answers that it's not necessary, since Yosem Sheish Rotzalisa Isha Rotzalinatze. More than a man desires to get married, a woman desires to get married. So the computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana versus Chereshes marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Chereshes is the one who cannot receive Truma the Rabbanan, nor a Kasuba, was constantly being interrupted by his shota wife he could not divorce because the Rabbanan did not permit him. Which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis stated that if a man married a woman who subsequently became a shota, insane, he may not divorce her. Yitzhak said, Dvar Torah shota miskareshes mini dahabi apikachas balkorcha. Under the Raisa law, a shota can be divorced just like a pikachas can be divorced against her will. What's the reason the Rabbanan said she cannot be divorced? So that people will not treat her in a hefker way after the divorce. The Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching refers to one who can safeguard her get so she can be derisive of divorce, but cannot safeguard herself from being treated in a hefker way. Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Dalet is a kiddie park. So here goes. The rabbi lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park. Kiddie park? That must be more in Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. The rabbi lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park by way of Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna once lost his keys to the Beis Midrash in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. He came before Rabbi Vitas, who told him, go bring some young boys and girls to that place and let them play there, for if they find the keys, they'll bring them back on their own. The Gemara concludes, Rabbi Pedas holds, katan ochel nevelos ein beis mitzuvin la'afrisho, that if a katan is found eating nevela meat or any other derisive iser, Beis Din is not chayev to separate him from that activity. If Beis and Rechayiv, then Rabbi Padas would not permit the children who found the keys to carry them Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. So the rabbi lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park by way of Rishus HaRabim, told his son not to extinguish the fire that broke out in the swing set, which reminds us, one must tell a Jewish child that he cannot extinguish a fire on Shabbos since Shvisaso Alem, his resting is the adult's responsibility, and the child would do it al das avi, based on the understanding of what his father wishes. Whereas one does not have to tell an idolater to not extinguish a fire, since his Shvisa is not the Jew's responsibility. And even if the idolater did it because he thought that's what the Jews wanted, it's still not a problem because over kochavim adaita the nafshi of it. And the idolater always acts according to his own thinking. And Rashi explains that even if the Jew is not aware of the fire, the idolater will put it out, knowing that he will receive a reward for doing so. So the rabbi who lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park by way of Rishus HaRabim told his son not to extinguish the fire that broke out on the swing set and assured his daughter that the boy pretending to be shot by an arrow isn't necessarily dead. Which reminds us, in the case of where a man and woman went overseas, when there was peace between them but war in the world, the woman is not believed to say that her husband died. And if you were to suggest that since there is peace between them, then she would not testify until she saw him dead, there's still a concern that she'll have seen him wounded by an arrow or a spear, and she assumes that he must have died when there are times when he can get medical care and still survive. Daf Kuf Tes Vav, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Tes Vav is a Ketores Maker. So here goes. The Ketores Maker's wife, Ketores Maker, that must be one Daf Kuf Tes Vav. The Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on, where her husband had died, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Hechazika ibn Chamba ma'olam mahu, if a woman established for us that there was a war in some part of the world, what is the halacha regarding believing her that her husband died in the war? The Gemara attempts to bring a proof from a case where a woman is believed when she says that she and her husband were attacked by idolaters or listim and her husband was killed. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying the reason we believe her in this case is that she stayed with her husband until he actually died. As Ravidi said, Isha Kleizena Aleha, a woman's weapons are always upon her. The Mefarshim explained that it's presumed that the idolaters or bandits will spare her life to have illicit relations with her. Therefore, she could remain with her husband to see that he died and not need to flee like she would in the case of a war. So the Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the halacha regarding an Eid Echad, a single witness, who testifies to a husband's death during wartime? The Gemara brings an incident where the wives of Tutachim and Chachamim were permitted to remarry based on the testimony of women who saw them drown. Now, since drowning is akin to dying at war, and the testimony of women, even 100 women, is considered like the testimony of one witness, we see that one witness is believed that a husband died at war. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying the situation was where the woman said, they brought the bodies up in our presence, and we saw them immediately while they were still identifiable, and they said the simanim, the marks had identified them as the Talmud Chachamim. Therefore, the rabbis did not rely on their testimony, but on the simanim they saw. So the Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men, who had the exact same names as two other men who were traveling. Which reminds us, Yitzhak Reish Galusa, the son of the sister of Vivi, was going from Kartava to Aspamia when he died. They sent the following message from there. Yitzhak Reish Galusa from Kartava died. The Gemara asks, Michai Shinu Latrei Yitzhak or Lo, do we need to suspect there are two Yitzhaks or not? Abai said we must be concerned, and Rava says we do not need to be concerned. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.